One time there was a like an evangelistic campaign our church planned to do in the neighborhood of the church. And when I heard about the evangelistic campaign, my first reaction to that evangelistic campaign is panic. I begin to think about what will happen, you know, when I share my faith and I talk to a stranger. And in that moment, I found myself secretly wishing that something would happen to our town, so I would not have to go witness to strangers. The question is, why such a negative reaction? I was not opposed to witnessing, I was just scared of talking to strangers. As it turned out, nothing catastrophic happened right now. So I began to fervently hope that I would be paired with an older, bolder, and talkative Christian. Someone who has a gift or anointing to do door-to-door evangelism. But to my disappointment, I was paired with a younger Christian. And so they say, so that I can show him how to do it. I was thinking, me? Show someone else how to do it? I did not even know how to do it myself. But soon, I found myself and my young protege walking up the door to that which I think resembled the entrance to a lion's den. Well, I knocked on the door as softly as I could, fervently hoping that no one would be home. I heard steps approaching, but I dearly wished that it would be a child, so I could sit down with him for an hour while others visited the rest of the town. You know what? I was so ashamed of my cowardice. Even though I wanted to do great things for God, I was threatened by the prospect of having to share the gospel with total strangers. However, all that changed the day I discovered the dynamic biblical principle of prayer evangelism, which is laid out in our text today in Luke chapter 10, verse 5 through 9. Before we go to the Word of God, let's ask the Lord to bless our time together. Lord, we are so thankful for the privilege of telling others about your good news. Lord, thank you so much, O God, as we hear this message, as we hear his principles, we ask, O God, that you use them to encourage us to be bold in our proclamation of the gospel. Lord, help us to understand what it means to pray while we are evangelizing. Lord, thank you so much. Your word to give us wisdom on how we can be an effective witness to those who are lost. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the passage that we read earlier is like what I said, taught me a important principle. And the principle is this. The principle is this. If we want to talk to our neighbors about God, we must first talk to God about our needs. Let's say that again. If we want to talk to our neighbors about God, we must first talk to God about our needs. And there are four steps that Jesus taught his disciples to do in order to reach out or share the gospel to unbelievers. And the steps is taken from the passage that we read today. The first step is speak peace to them. Second step is to fellowship with them. The third step is to take care of their needs. And then the fourth step is to proclaim the good news. Well, the first step will open the door for the second step. And so forth. The steps are interconnected, and to be effective, it must be implemented in the order given. And do you know why we are not successful in preaching the gospel or in sharing our faith to people who might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? We do the port first. Instead of doing the step one, we proclaim the good news right away. And so we fall back, or we are unsuccessful in sharing the gospel. And in the book that we read, in Luke chapter 10, we saw the steps that Jesus taught his disciples in order to be an effective witness to unbelievers or to those who need the gospel. So let's talk about them one by one. Okay, the first step is speak peace to them. Which also means bless them. Well, the scripture says, whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. Why is this the first? Why is this important? Or why is it important to first speak peace to those who need to hear the gospel? Well, I believe there's a reason why this is the first step. Whenever you plan to share the gospel to someone, do you know why this is the first step? This is the first step because most Christians, whether you know it or not, have developed an attitude of a strong dislike for sinners, or for unbelievers. Whether you are aware or not, we have developed an attitude, a negative attitude towards unbelievers. Especially those unbelievers that, you know, are annoying. Or those unbelievers that keep on persecuting you, you know, doing things that you don't like or you don't approve of. So in your heart, in your mind, you don't want to be with them. Amen? You don't want to fellowship with them. You don't want even to share the gospel with them. But in essence, what you're doing is, instead of blessing them, you are cursing them. So what we need is to bless them instead of cursing them. So Jesus is saying, whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. So Jesus' method of evangelism calls for us to speak peace over the lost. And the reason for that is because as Christians, we are unaware that we have declared war against the lost. Though we are unaware sometimes that we have developed an attitude, a negative attitude toward unbelievers. You know, I became my negative attitude toward unbelievers when I came across this passage. I realized that I had a holier-than-thou attitude. Instead of claiming the promises of God to deal with the problems that I saw in my work and in my neighborhood, I told God about everything that was wrong with his people. You know that kind of prayer? I talked to God in disgust about the unwed mother and how she had to change because she was such a bad influence. I demanded that God do something about the couple who keep on arguing and fighting night and day so I can get some sleep. I complained about a co-worker who is not doing anything or not doing anything at work, but just chat and play with his phone. So all that I'm doing is complaining to God about things that I see, what I saw in my mirror. You know what I sense God is saying to me when I pray that kind of prayer? Well, God was trying to communicate to me that his love that I have not witnessed to them yet. You know why? What God is saying, I don't want your neighbors to know that you and I are related. You know why? Because God says, I hurt when they hurt. I reach out to them. I love them. I constantly extend grace to them. And I am the God who causes the sun to rise over the righteous and the unrighteous alike. What God is saying to me was, I love them, but you don't. In fact, God is saying, you resent them. He rebuked me, saying, unless you love them, I cannot trust you with their love. My friends, my brothers and sisters, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Amen? What God is saying to me, what God is saying to me during the time is God would like each and every one of us to be genuinely interested in the life of those around us. How many of you have had a chance to talk to your neighbors? Maybe not. Maybe never. Or maybe once in a while. But we never had a real chance to talk to our neighbors. But when we speak blessing over those in our circle of influence, sooner or later, people who used to avoid us will seek us out, opening the door for fellowship. When we start to bless them by praying for them, by speaking peace to them, God will open the door for us to have fellowship with them. Which is the second step. Fellowship with them. In other words, when they are ready to speak to us, and you are ready to receive something from them, you begin to have a two-way fellowship with them. What the scripture says, step number two, peace to this house, and if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him, but if not, it will return to you. And whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat what is before you. You know, an opportunity to have fellowship with them happens only because we have started to speak blessing to them. Once we have spoken blessing to them,
they will sense a different vibe. You know, that vibration, they call it the vibe between you and the people that you are ministering to. They will begin to open up to you. They will begin to speak to you because you have been speaking blessing to them. I heard about a story of a Christian lady who has been praying for her neighbor for a long time, maybe more than 6 months. That neighbor has been ill, a very ill condition. Actually, she was bedridden for a few months, and he could not walk, he could not stand, he could not do anything. But that Christian lady has been praying for that neighbor for a long time. She and other believing women was speaking peace and blessing from across the street from her. And they went on for several months until one day that unbelieving mother, that unbelieving neighbor, and her children showed up at the door of a Christian woman. And the neighbor said, "I came to thank you for the blessings that you sent my way because I am healed." So the Christian lady asked, "How did you know that we are blessing you?" Well, the neighbor said, "I can feel them coming my way every week. I can feel the blessing coming to me from you every week. And because of that, I am now healed of my sickness." So what the lady said is, "Please tell me more about your Jesus. Please tell me more about your God. I want to know more about him." And it took no effort at all to lead that lady and her children to Christ. The thing is, once we have broken the eyes with our neighbor, though it is an opportunity for you to share the gospel right away, do not rush to share the gospel with them. Because the next step after blessing them or saying peace to them is to have fellowship with them. Fellowship is the next step, not proclamation, because proclamation is the last step. That will be an opportunity for you to invite them over a cup of coffee, or over dinner, or over barbecue, whatever it is that you can invite him or her. In other words, what I'm saying is, if you have a chance to develop a relationship with them, do not ambush them with the poor spiritual laws. What I'm saying is, be patient. Now, if they have invited you to come to their house for dinner or coffee, accept the invitation. Because when you accept the invitation from your neighbor, what you're actually saying is, "I value you. I affirm your value and dignity." But when we reject the invitation, we're saying, "You are no good, so I don't think I will accept it." You know, when we bless people, it opens the door for fellowship. And fellowship will lead to the third step, which is taking care of their needs. Okay, so the third step is taking care of their needs. Okay, the scripture says, "And heal those who are sick." You know, this step will only happen if they trust you enough to disclose their needs. And once the trust is there, then you will be able to minister their needs. Maybe that will be an opportunity for you to start praying for them. Maybe that is an opportunity for you to hear about their struggles, to hear about their fears, to hear about the things that they cannot overcome. You know, unbelievers, you know, people who don't care about God, have the same attitude about prayer, or have the same attitude like you and me when it comes to prayer. You know, unbelievers or people who don't care about God knows that God has a solution to their problem. But they don't know God's own number. Even if they know God's phone number, they don't want to call God because they know God will not answer them. But if you are willing to make a phone call for them or on their behalf, they will be most grateful to you, regardless of the outcome. What I'm saying is, after you bless them, after you pray for them, after you speak peace to them, the next step is to fellowship. After you fellowship with them, the next step is to take care of their needs. And then that will lead you to the fourth step, which is to proclaim the good news. In the fourth step, Jesus said, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Once you have completed the first three steps, blessing, fellowship, and taking care of the needs, leading your neighbor to the Lord becomes easier. I don't think you will miss sharing the gospel with them once you have blessed them, because peace is what most believers lack the most. I don't think they will reject the gospel because you have provided the most protective healing fellowship that they will ever enjoy. I don't think they will reject the gospel because you have offered prayers for their needs that will affect them deeply and will meet their needs at that moment in time. And when you have done all these things, it's very natural for them to ask you to tell them more about God who loves them. So what do we do? What do we need to do in order to do all these things? What do we have to do in order to be effective in our gospel proclamation? Or in inviting people to come to Jesus? Well, the first step is like what I said, is the first step. When was the last time you have prayed for your neighbors? How many of you know the names of your neighbors? Just from across the street, or from just three houses from your house, how many of you know the name of your neighbors? Perhaps just a few of us really know. Maybe we know the name of our neighbors, but we don't know what's going on in their lives. Because we have not gone to the next step. Maybe we have been praying for them, but we have not really come to know them. We don't know their needs. We don't know their struggles. We don't know what's going on in their lives. So the next step is to seek them. You know, Jesus said that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, Jesus did not wait for people to come to him. He went to them. Amen? He went to them. When was the last time you have had a conversation with me? Maybe 10 years ago. Or maybe just last week. When you have a conversation with your neighbor, your goal is to intentionally place yourself in regular contact with them in hope of getting to know your neighbor. But the next step after seeking them is to invite them. When was the last time you invited your neighbors to have a cup of coffee, or to have dinner, or just to talk about life with you? So invite them. Have a meal, have a coffee, or whatever, you know, is available. So after praying, after seeking them, after inviting them, the next step is invest in them. You know, inviting our neighbors to our house is counterculture. It's something that we don't do naturally. You know, inviting our neighbor to our homes is not only strange, it's uncomfortable. Because we have become accustomed to the culture that says, my home is my private, my retreat from the business of life and cares. You know why God placed you in your neighborhood? To be the light and soul of the earth. If you are an ambassador for Christ, your house is an embassy. Remember that. If you are called an ambassador for Christ, your house is a resource for living on a mission in our community. So after inviting, invest your life with them. How will they know that you really are concerned with them if you will be kind to them? To listen to them, to pray for them. I didn't say you give them whatever they need. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, when you are there with them in their time of need, they will know that you really care for them. And because they have seen the love and the care in your life, they will ask you, what is the reason why you are different from the other people around you? And that is where we invest our time. And then after you have done praying, seeking, inviting, and investing in their life, the last thing to do is to share the good news. Be a good news first before you share the good news. My friends, my brothers and sisters, imagine what would happen if every Christian in the world believed that God has empowered them with the power of the Holy Spirit. What do you think will happen in the world? If every Christian believed that God has empowered them with the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. Imagine what would happen if together we make Jesus known by praying, by seeking, inviting, investing, and sharing the gospel to everyone whom God sends. It will transform our community. My friends, remember, the Great Commission is not only about crossing the world, you know, to tell others about Christ. The gospel is about crossing the streets to your neighborhood.
Great Commission means not only crossing the world, but also crossing the street. Going to your neighbors, telling them about Jesus. By words, speaking blessing to them. Speaking peace to them. Praying to them. Instead of cursing them, bless them, start to bless them. You know, this principle works also with people that you have had problems with. If you have had problems with your neighbor, with your friend, with your classmate, with your family, or any person in the world, the first thing to do is to bless them. Because when you start to speak blessing to them, God will do something in their life. Amen? So start to bless them. Start to pray. And then after you have prayed for them, God will open the door, an opportunity for you to fellowship with them. Get to know them. Get to know their name. And that God will open the door for you to minister to their needs. Which the next step is to meet their needs. Of course, you are not able to meet the need, but God will help you meet the needs. And then you will be able to share the gospel. My friends, my brothers and sisters, we have a mission. God has a mission. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit has a mission. You know, the mission that God has given us compels us share the gospel everywhere. So make your life count by being the blessing of others. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much, O God, for this wonderful time that you have reminded us that we have a mission. Our mission to tell the world about the good news. Lord, thank you for reminding us, O God, that we are your ambassadors. And our goal, our emphasis, so that we can tell others, or can show others, that Jesus is truly the hope of the world. Lord, thank you so much. We give you all.